Time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Guys, happy Wednesday.
Sup?
It is hump day. We're halfway through.
We are halfway through. Rodeo cook-off is tomorrow, and I can't wait. Need to get there.
This is a really, really fun time in Houston. The rodeo, the music, the food, all of the sights and sounds. So we're certainly looking forward to that. PG, your folks are in town.
Yes, they
fun.
Are. They are here yesterday, today, and on Thursday. And yesterday, I had the great honor of driving up to the airport to go get them from Bush during rush hour.
How was that?
Not their fault. It is terrible. I read something, I think on Channel 2's website, Vanessa, about road rage in Houston and about how people are trying to crack down on road rage. And I was thinking to myself, well, can they help me crack down on myself on road rage? Because I was getting very mad. I flipped someone off while I was driving back. My mom was like, Paul, don't do that. You can't do that.
Moms are the best.
She is really sweet. And honestly, I feel bad. I couldn't help it. I was in the car for like 2.5 hours straight, losing my mind. And at the very end, when we were like on the final stretch and everything seemed to be taking longer and longer and people were blocking intersections, I was just the absolute worst. I'm just like,
you were a curmudgeon.
Yep, I was. So hopefully there won't be any problems like that today.
Well, welcome both of your parents to H-Town. I know you're going
to
have a good time with them.
Yes.
All right. Rich Eisen. Always a good time to watch. See these transitions?
I mean,
I'm going to teach you.
C minus.
That hashtag TV. Oh, I've had better ones. Rich Eisen, to me, he's like maybe a step below Dan Patrick, but he's one of the best interviewers. Really gets people to open up. Has his own show, of course, on Peacock. Lovie Smith was on Rich Eisen yesterday.
Right.
And we're already seeing that Lovie Smith is a little bit more candid than David Culley. And in some ways, I think Bill O'Brien could be candid, but Lovie Smith is walking a fine line with this regime. I think we can all agree where it's at an awkward time right now. What can he and can he not say about Deshaun? How, you know, what's going to be the situation with Nick Caserio, who comes from the New England regime and is going to possibly be the Bill Belichick kind of GM, kind of coach, etc. But I think Lovie Smith does a really good job of walking that line.
Yeah, he does. He gives you more than the nothing that David Culley gave you every single time he was in front of a press conference. So there was some, I guess, positivity in Culley's voice. And he gives you more than O'Brien generally would, unless it was a really bad moment. O'Brien was candid when things were going horribly.
When things were really bad.
Right, but when things were going well, and if you asked the wrong question, he would get a little bit ticked off. With Smith, you're hearing a lot of different things, and I thought the most interesting thing to come out, Vanessa, of yesterday's interview with Lovie Smith was something that we have heard discussed that we haven't really gotten to touch on over the last couple of months, and it goes back to something we heard during a press conference this past season with David Culley. I think a lot of people were shocked when they heard that David Culley said that he and Nick Caserio are basically talking to one another during a football game.
This is very New England.
Right. This is right here. Caserio
and Culley. I'm just saying this is very, like, this is New England. This is the GM.
Right.
You know,
there's some resistance to that. So here's David Culley talking about that.
Well, just like I go back to the two-minute situation when we're in it, I immediately went on online with Nick, and obviously he and Romeo talked about it and says, okay, our timeouts now. How do we need to use these timeouts, you know? And then immediately, okay, at this, you know, depending on what happened on this play, we need to call it. If this doesn't happen, then don't call a timeout. So all those things are discussed before we ever get to that point. Like, we're usually a play ahead of that. And then when it happens, then I've got to be ready to make that decision. And that's usually Aaron with all those kinds of decisions, you know?
You were at a lot of these press conferences, Vanessa. Mm-hmm. When you first heard Culley say that, I know a lot of people were like, what? What is going on? What were your initial thoughts there before we get to what Lovie Smith had to say about it?
I'm going to be honest. I was not surprised when David Culley said that Nick Caserio wears the headset and that that's part of it, because we know the situation David Culley was in. We know he was brought in as a bridge.
Right.
The Texans will never admit it. Nick Caserio called it one of the hardest decisions he's ever had to make in his life. Doubtful. So I was not surprised. Now, it's always important for me to point this out. I know David Culley was not head coaching material. No other team interviewed him, even for a coordinator position. But he's not stupid. He coached in the league for decades. He knows people. But this was something new for him. This was a head coaching job in the middle of a team that was not good, where there was turmoil, where there were, you know, unprecedented lawsuits against your starting quarterback. So I was not surprised that they looked at the situation and said, we're going to bring this guy in as a bridge to who we really want, which I think obviously was Josh McCown. But we're going to help him out. And you saw that because in the press conferences that I was at, a lot of the answers were not quite scripted, but you can tell that David Culley didn't come up with every single word he was saying. I don't get that impression from Lovie.
That's the difference here. And you said it. I think you hit the nail on the head. Caserio was there to help Culley out because Culley was a little in over his head.
Of course.
Going from being passing game coordinator to being the head coach of a team. When you've been an assistant coach for a really long period of time, you probably never expect that. But are you going to say no when somebody offers you, what, $22 million? Anyway, Lovie Smith, a little bit different. Lovie Smith took the Bears to the Super Bowl. Lovie Smith's been a head coach of two NFL teams and a college football program. So he was asked yesterday by Rich Eisen about the thing that David Culley had talked about last season, that Nick Caserio's in his headset.
You know, Rich, as you say it, we've known each other a while. You don't give out starting positions in the spring. But, as I say it, I love what Davis has done. He's our quarterback going into the season.
I have no idea how to cut audio.
But this is a good soundbite.
He's talking about Davis Mills.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. Right now, we're talking about the headset situation. It honestly, genuinely was not a surprise to me that David Culley had help on the headsets. Lovie Smith does not strike me as somebody that is going to be as receptive to that. And I get it. He's been a head coach. This is his third head coaching job in the NFL. Bears, Tampa Bay, and obviously now the Texans. And then you count all of his experience in Illinois on the collegiate level. He doesn't strike me as somebody who's going to want that. But he also doesn't strike me as somebody that isn't willing to negotiate certain things.
Right.
So if that was part of the deal when he came here, or not when he came here, but when he was elevated, when he was promoted a few weeks ago, when they said, you're going to be the guy. Would that be a deal breaker for him? He doesn't strike me as the type of guy where that would be a deal breaker, but I don't think he's going to like it. And I think that there could be times where if we're a fly on that wall, we're hearing some discussions over those headsets about some disagreements.
Yeah. And here now we do have Lovie Smith. And I apologize for this because this is me just tearing a terrible job.
Fine, Paul.
I can't help it. I can't help it. Anyway, here is Lovie Smith talking about that. And I thought he gave an answer that says he's open to it, but I'm not sure how open he is to it.
You know, Rich, people do it, a lot of different ways. You know, I've been a head football coach for a long period of time. I haven't had the general manager involved on game day and don't plan on it, but so, again, things were done differently at different places. We have a system that we're pretty comfortable with here, and Nick and I have talked about that. Nick's going to be available to help in any way that we think he should, and we feel pretty good about that plan.
So he mentions the system, and he mentions the help, but he does say in the middle of that answer as well that that's not necessarily something he's really looking for. And
yeah.
I do wonder how this differs from before with Culley. And I'm actually open to the idea of having a general manager with a voice that the head coach can hear over the course of a game. I think that as long as you're not being distracting during really important situations where the coach has to make a decision, I think that actually can be pretty helpful considering Caserio's got 20 years of experience and has been doing coaching and scouting and all sorts of different things as part of the Patriots organization. I mean, he knows everything about how the sausage is made. But as the season goes along and then you come to notice people's bad habits as your working relationship continues, what is Lovie Smith going to think? And how is the power dynamic going to be as this goes on and on and on? Because I think every head coach, especially one with a whole lot of experience, no matter how nice Lovie Smith sounds, every single head coach has got a little bit of ego in them. And every single head coach, I think, wants to ultimately be the one making all of the shots.
I agree with you, and I do think that it's something to watch. But I think this is a situation, like I said, where Lovie Smith could have a little bit of give and take on that. Lovie Smith also touched on Deshaun Watson. Phrasing probably could have. As soon as that came out of my mouth. Lovie Smith also talked about Deshaun Watson on the Rich Eisen show, and there's only so much that he can say. I have enjoyed this candor from Lovie Smith, though, because what we're not getting from what we get from Nick Caserio, and I get it. I mean, this is a legal matter. Nick Caserio will not say anything. Lovie will say something. Lovie has said that he wants it wrapped up soon. Lovie has said that we're going to play the soundbite from Lovie Smith. On Deshaun Watson.
You know, I've had contact with, you know, from just being in the building. I don't really know Deshaun that way, you know, since he wasn't really involved last year. I know about his background and his history as a football player. That part I know. And, of course, I know most people want to know what's going to happen with that. Time takes care of a lot of things, and time will take care of that situation, too, where it's a favorable situation for Deshaun and us.
I thought it was noteworthy because it's a little bit different. Because remember a little bit ago, and maybe Lovie Smith and Nick Caserio had a conversation about this, because I remember Caserio had said, okay, well, we've talked about that since then, where Lovie Smith wanted to get this done as soon as possible.
Yeah.
And this time, he's not saying he wants it done as soon as possible. He's going to go with the flow. So again, go back to the power dynamic. I would say that in this round of, hey, who's really making the shots here? Who's calling the shots? It's still Nick Caserio.
I think it could be one of those things, too, where the Texans, you know, PR staff or whatever, and this is a total guess, could have said, hey, we can't say that we want this as done as possible because the proper thing is for justice to be served, for everybody's best interests to be met, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, coming up, arguably, he's become one of the most annoying men in football in the last year, and you got to hear about him putting butter in his butt. Aaron Rodgers is next.
ESPN 97.5. You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Welcome to Vanessa. Happy Wednesday. Welcome to Vanessa and Gallant. I'm Vanessa Richardson. He is Paul Gallant. We are on air. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 in Houston. Thanks for joining us. We are talking all things NFL and Aaron Rodgers today, who kind of set the internet on fire, Paul.
Yeah, we've got to hear a little bit more from Aaron Rodgers yesterday after we went off the air on the Pat McAfee show, because we were doing our own interpretations of Aaron Rodgers on Instagram. You feel that the last slide that Rodgers put up there, and a lot of people feel the same way as you, maybe is hinting at something, and I thought he was just messing with all of us, but okay, Aaron Rodgers does a great job of promoting himself before going on Pat McAfee. We can both agree on that.
He does. And here's the thing about Aaron Rodgers. He always has it. He's one of those people that always has an answer for everything. And it's not necessarily about the fact that he's a smart aleck as much as just like how he, you know, so he'll, instead of being like, well, that actually meant it made me feel, what was his explanation on Pat McAfee? He said that that picture touched him because Cobb and Adams saved his spot for him that game he missed against KC. And instead of saying that, like I just said it, he went, well, I mean, yeah, like all that meant was, well, it's okay. All that meant was that it touched me because Adams and Cobb saved that spot for me. It was just a picture that I thought was really great.
You have a really good impersonation of California men.
I don't know why people are being so dramatic about it.
I like that. That's good.
It's really annoying.
Vanessa Rodgers here.
Yeah. But Rodgers did explain the Instagram post. And in case you've been living under a rock, he had this long Instagram post late on Sunday night where he talked about gratitude, gave a shout out to his ex-fiance, current girlfriend. We don't know. Shailene Woodley, David Bakhtiari, Randall and Ada Cobb, and a lot of the different people. So he went into depth in explaining this Instagram post on the Pat McAfee show.
Unless you've gone through certain experiences and had frustration and been near the bottom and then get near the top and understand the beauty in life, and I think that's might say things about that. That's a cryptic message. I mean, there's nothing cryptic about gratitude. You know, I just came out of a 12-day cleanse where you're eating a specific diet and you're going through these treatments every day and you're not really doing anything else. You got to kind of turn everything else off. And so, you know, you're not working out, you're not straining or anything. It's kind of a recentering, and it not only heals you physically, but I think it takes away mental stress. And then the spiritual part, I think it allows you to kind of enjoy the meditations a little bit more. So when I come out, my first thought is just intense gratitude for the people in my life. And that's not every person in my life that I mentioned. And there's other people to highlight in the credit, but that was just where I was at. I was going through some old pictures from the last year and felt an intense amount of gratitude for the life that I have and for the lessons that I've learned and the growth that's happened over the last year and the people who've been a part of that that journey.
I mean, it's the delivery, because he starts out with saying, unless you've gone through certain life experiences.
Which everyone in the world has.
Cry me a river.
Life is suffering.
And you can have mental health issues as an athlete, whatever. But if you're making millions of dollars and you've brought so much of this flack on yourself.
Exactly.
To
that.
Start out with, unless you've gone through certain experiences, you just can't understand the beauty in life. Like, dude, the people that are annoyed by you are making $8 an hour and working two jobs for their kids.
Thank you.
So unless you've gone through certain experiences, my butt. Also, there's nothing cryptic about gratitude. That is the tone that makes people so mad, because it's like, well, you couldn't why do you think that there's something cryptic? Dude, it's cryptic. You posted weird pictures. You had a long message. He knows this. And to me, it's like people think that Aaron Rodgers trolls. He does, but it's also an important distinction to make. And it's important to understand that he genuinely thinks he's smarter than people.
Yes, he does.
So it's not always trolling. He legitimately thinks he's gone through such a rough time. And because he did a cleanse, he understands things that people never could.
And I'm sure he actually is going through a rough time,
and
whatever the hell he's going
have.
Through.
Sure.
But we all have. Right. And as you said, it's hard to feel empathy for that person when he's just been very whiny over the last couple of years. And there's no other way to describe it. He has been whiny about being on a Packers team that has had home field advantage in the NFC playoffs for the last 3 seasons. So, I mean, let's calm down a little bit on that front. The most California answer, I think, that I could possibly expect from Aaron Rodgers, he delivered. I mean, that was a 95 out of 100 on the California scale. That was a Beverly Hills, the West Hollywood answer that you would expect from some of these people that are telling you not to globally warm the environment while they're on their yachts or on their planes. It's out of touch. It's tone deaf. But to play devil's advocate, say you are making a post. You should be allowed to post whatever you want on social media. I just think, as you said a little bit before, it's one of these things where there is such a long list of little things that he has done. Boy Who Cried Wolf, no one's going to really look at this post as being independent of all the ones that are before that. And all of a sudden, you're expecting people to understand it and not think it's cryptic or not think it's hinting at your future. Well, then why were you doing what you were doing over the last 3 years?
What's funny is he could actually say, yeah, I know that it was a little weird. It was a weird timing, and I don't usually post that long, so I get why people had questions. But instead, it's like, well, why would people, like, there's nothing cryptic about gratitude. It's so annoying.
No,
so
that here's, is fine.
Here, yeah, it's fine.
I like tacos.
Uncut Gems.
I was, you know, like going through a cleanse.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had some of my juices and stuff, and, you know, the toxins that came out and the spirits.
See,
that
here's
came
the
out.
Problem. I can't take you seriously because you do eat really healthy and all of that. So here's a little bit of this PK diet that he did.
So that's what the cleanse was. Yeah, he didn't really explain the cleanse in that answer.
Yeah. So this is some of what people have discovered about this cleanse. Sometimes it's a 5-day, sometimes it's a 12-day. You do massages with oils that release toxins.
What?
You do the Shedona stage, which includes therapeutic vomiting to help cleanse the lungs and remove mucus from the body. Hashtag bulimia. You take laxatives to rid the body of excess bile and improve the digestive system. Then comes a bunch of enemas, which is where
oh my God, what? He's doing enemas too? What?
Enemas, which is, yeah.
Oh,
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know why Aaron Rodgers is doing you know, spending so much time and money for a cleanse when all he has to do is go to Taco Bell. That cleans you out real quick. Real quick.
Well, it's a different kind of cleanse. I mean, you kind of feel terrible during this, right? Although, I guess, I don't know. I've never done, Vanessa, yes, I eat healthy, but I've never done like a cleanse like this outside of.
Yeah, you're not psycho.
There's been two years where after my 30th birthday, I took a month off of drinking. And then at the beginning of the pandemic, I took a month off of drinking. That's it.
How traumatic was your 30th birthday?
Well, it was like a 4-day bender. It was
Wow.
It was a lot of fun. I had a good time, but you know, it felt like the world was starting to end. So you know, I felt I should go out with an absolute bang at number 30. Have you ever done any cleanses?
No, I've never done. I did do the whole 30, which I don't think counts as a cleanse. It's a diet. You know, no processed food, no sugar, very limited carbs. I will say that I felt better after it, but it did not involve enemas. So not as intense as Aaron Rodgers. One of the things that people have talked about with Aaron Rodgers is that he's not going to want to come back to Green Bay unless they have Devontae Adams. And he kind of touched on that and kind of alluded to that on the Rich Eisen or Pat McAfee show.
There's been, you know, some contemplative days, but you know, I understand also today, I believe, might be the first day to tag players. And, you know, in Green Bay, there's this one specific guy who's like the best guy in the entire league at what he does. You know, wears like, I think number 17, you might've heard of him. So there's, you know, there's obviously, you know, the opportunity to tag him at some point, which, you know, I don't think, you know, both parties probably want that done. They'd rather get a long-term extension done. But I understand that's a part of the decision, and I talked about, you know, not wanting to drag this thing out.
I mean, if you're Brian Gutekunst and you hear Aaron Rodgers basically say, I think the Packers should franchise tag Devontae Adams, you franchise tag Devontae Adams.
You do whatever it takes to get Adams on the team. Now, I do wonder if maybe the Packers look at Devontae Adams, a long-term contract for a wide receiver, and wonder, in a post-Aaron Rodgers world, do we still want to have Devontae Adams on the books? Is Adams going to be the same receiver that he's been with Rodgers without Rodgers? I would argue probably yes, but you're right. This is something that already should have happened. They should at the very least start the conversation, because you can get to a point where all of a sudden you completely submarine the relationship that you have. And I mean, we saw this firsthand with Bill O'Brien and DeAndre Hopkins too, and how that thing ended. I think Hopkins was surprised that he ended up getting shipped out of town, but it doesn't take much, especially with wide receivers who I think are a little bit different, to get those egos overthinking, to get those egos feeling offended. And yeah, I think if they want to keep Adams around long term, then you at least start those conversations. But from the sound of things, those haven't even begun at this point.
No, I think you would have said if they did. I think Rodgers and Adams are almost a package deal. His tone with Green Bay has softened, and he also said on the Pat McAfee show yesterday that the communication is better than it's ever been. So we'll see what happens, of course, with Rodgers and Green Bay. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, how does one handle acquiring stars and dealing with them in the NBA? You talk about wide receivers having egos. Oh, yeesh, that's next.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
We're all feeling contemplative this morning. It's not contemplative. I'm Aaron Rodgers. I'm from California.
You sound like a Valley girl. The irony is that you do a better girl impression.
I know. I can't help us because this is my return. But your Aaron Rodgers impersonation is fantastic. We're going to have to go back to that later on in the program. If you're contemplating something to do for Mardi Gras, by the way, the 111th celebration of Mardi Gras Galveston, the third biggest Mardi Gras in the country, two full weekends of family-friendly fun. It's going to have 22 parades, 15 balcony parties, 22 live concerts, vendors, 3 million beads. Don't assault people with the beads, please. Be kind. Enjoy live performances by Three Doors Down, Signo, Matt Stell, others, plus a special Fiesta Grand Marshal appearance by Texans defensive lineman Roy Lopez. The full schedule and more is at MardiGrasGalveston.com. Again, that is MardiGrasGalveston.com. General admission tickets, $16. Buy your tickets online or the day of the festival. MardiGrasGalveston.com. Caller number 3 to 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Boom, that's where you're going. That's where you're going to be going for Mardi Gras. Woohoo!
That'll be fun. Yeah, if you can't go to New Orleans, you might as well stay here and make just a quick trip to a place that's very fun.
New Orleans is a very aggressive place to go for Mardi Gras. Yeah, I went for Mardi Gras / President's Day weekend. And if I'm not mistaken, Tyler, behind the glass, you're heading to NOLA this weekend, right? For Mardi Gras?
I will be there.
Oh, yeah. Lord.
First Ooh. Experience.
Gosh.
Well, will Tyler be here on Monday?
Honestly,
I can answer that for you. No, I won't, because my flight back is on Monday.
He's going to come back with a bunch of beads.
Are you driving back or are you flying back?
We're flying back.
Smart. Yeah. Very smart. Okay, good.
The drive to New Orleans is brutal. Not one. The drive there is fine, but driving back
the worst
sucks.
Thing in the world. It's
Wait,
the worst
why?
Thing in the world.
Why? Because of being hungover?
Yes.
You guys are so weak.
It's a 6-hour drive.
A 6-hour drive? I'm
hungover.
That's not great. But to me, being on a plane hungover is way worse.
Oh, no.
It's a lot quicker.
You can fall asleep. You don't have to drive.
I'm going to Nashville this weekend. And the last time I went to Nashville, I was one of those hangovers where you're like, I am never drinking again. Like, you're vomiting mucus because your body won't stop vomiting, and I...
There's enemas for that, so for Aaron Rodgers.
I get on the plane, and it's almost a full plane, and there is a large woman, not very nice.
I'm having trouble remembering,
seemed
huh?
nice, and she had, like, a pink cowboy hat, a pink tutu, and she and her friends were like, woo!
Oh,
even
God.
Coming back from Nashville.
Oh, coming back? What's wrong with them?
I know. And she tries to sit next to me, and I said... It's occupied.
This seat's taken, like you're in Forrest Gump.
Yeah, I was like, you just cannot sit here because I will not survive the plane trip. And she didn't. She and her rowdy friends found somewhere else to go. When you talk about the NBA, out of all the sports that I've covered, look, it's only, a dozen guys on a team. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times the egos are a little more out of control than, say, like a third string running back or defensive end in the NFL. Zion Williamson, I don't know if he's having ego issues. He has had weight issues. He looks hashtag thick. But not a lot of people are hearing from him. There are questions about his injury. Is he recovering? And CJ McCollum, just traded from Portland to New Orleans, said that that Zion hadn't even reached out to him.
Which is
nuts. That's crazy. You get CJ. And by the way, I know CJ a little bit. I've gotten to know him a little bit over the years, and I really like him. If you're not reaching out to one of the most personable, nice, business-oriented superstars in the league, I don't know what's wrong with you.
Yeah, CJ McCollum, I've listened to podcasts that he's been on, and I've always enjoyed listening to him. And I am surprised that Zion Williamson wouldn't at the very least say hi.
Yeah.
Welcome to New Orleans, right, to this guy who is joining his team. Until you think about it, look, the Pelicans are a bad organization. They're owned by the Saints. They're like the redheaded stepchild of that ownership group. So I could get why Zion Williamson actually hates his current situation. This isn't like James Harden, where the Rockets bent over backwards for him for almost a decade, only for him to say, yeah, I don't like it anymore. Zion Williamson has dealt with injuries, but I can also imagine he looks at the Pelicans as a whole and he's like, this organization is just not the place that I want to be here, be long-term. I don't really have any control over it. But at the same time, if you ever want to be one of the best players in basketball, you do have to do some maturing. You're going to be the focal point of some basketball team at some point down the line. And if you're going to be that focal point, you got to grow up and do things like this. I'm glad that J.J. Redick, who actually has played with Zion Williamson, and now he's on ESPN after he retired from the NBA, called Williamson out. Because Williamson should be called out for his, I think, own good going forward. Here is J.J. Redick on ESPN with Stephen A. Smith.
This is a pattern of behavior with Zion that we are seeing again and again. And look, I was his teammate. I can describe him as a detached teammate. That is an accurate statement. This is basic level of humanity being a teammate. Send a text to a guy when he gets traded to your team. That is just normal behavior. That's the bar minimum that you have to do. And the Pelicans yesterday sent out an email for season tickets for next year. Guess who wasn't in the email? Whose name was not in the email? Zion's. Like, what the heck is going on in New Orleans, Stephen A?
It's tricky because you got to do so much to get stars. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about a situation in just a moment that teams have been thinking about to get maybe the biggest star in basketball. But to keep the guy around who doesn't want to be here, I mean, at this point, what do you do? Do you just like do you wave the white flag and say, okay, well now we're going to have to trade Zion and for a loss?
I am seeing on Malika Andrews' Twitter, as reported on NBA Today, CJ McCollum told ESPN that since his interview over the weekend with the TNT crew, Zion Williamson reached out and the two have spoken.
Okay.
But it shouldn't have but the point remains, because it shouldn't have taken CJ McCollum awkwardly saying to the TNT crew, yeah, actually haven't talked to him at all.
And probably the conversation was prompted by that moment.
As opposed to no, 100%.
Being, right, because what the hell is Zion Williamson doing right now? He's not playing basketball. You know, he has nothing better to do outside of just trying to get back on the court, which he has not played on this year.
I love that by J.J. Redick. When you talk about superstars, LeBron James, not only a great player, obviously, but a brand. Whenever he's in town, you know, unless he's doing load management with the Pacers, playing against the Pacers, he always brings in a lot of ticket revenue. So wherever LeBron ends up, any team he's a part of, it's going to be popping.
And yeah, no doubt. Even if he's not the same player
he used to be. Right. I mean, even if he's old and washed up, he has recently said that his final year, or he might not have said his final year, but he said Bronny's first year, he wants to play with Bronny,
right,
his son, of course. Now, from a couple of different perspectives, because LeBron had said at that point, quote, at that point, it's not about the money. So maybe it's not going to be as huge of a hit as people would think. But would teams even be interested in bringing in LeBron and drafting Bronny? Mark Cuban says he would not draft Bronny specifically for that reason.
Would you burn a second-round pick on Bronny James, even if the scouts say he's not an NBA player, to get old man LeBron to play for the Mavericks for a year or two?
I don't know. It depends on the circumstances and how good Bronny is. Would I just burn it to burn it? Probably not. You know. And, again, we'll have this guy named Luka who's really, really, really good. and so it'll really depend on the team that we have around him.
It's interesting, though, when he says that, because you would think, okay, Luka playing with any version of LeBron James, that's probably going to be a pretty good,
it's going to be a good team
combination. Yeah,
yeah,
I would be curious to see how those two would actually be able to play with one another. This is the step too far for LeBron, who has taken steps as essentially the not actually a general manager, but kind of the general manager with a bunch of different organizations. He signs these short-term contracts, and it gives him leverage over the organizations that he joins. I think it's brilliant. Like, I think the way that he does it is brilliant. But I can also understand why an ownership group would be like, no. I mean, this is too far. Forcing the Lakers to trade for Russell Westbrook, who we all knew was washed.
Right.
And we are all very happy that he's no longer part of this organization. That is something that now LeBron acts like he has no fingerprints on and is getting mad at the All-Star break, talking about how Rob Pelinka, the general manager of the Lakers, wasn't making enough moves to make the Lakers better. It was like, well, they traded for Russell Westbrook and they've totally screwed things over for themselves as far as flexibility going forward. And that's the thing that's always, you know, there are two extremes here. With Zion Williamson, you have a guy who I'm not sure really cares. Maybe he can if he's in a better organization, but right now it's hard to really...
I mean, you heard J.J. Redick say he's a detached teammate.
Boom. And then when the case of LeBron, he cares a little too much to the point where he wants to have all sorts of control over the operation. So this is a delicate balance that you got to have with stars in the league. And I like that some guys are saying no to it, because they will come, they will party, and then you have to clean up the party afterwards. You got to pick up all the solo cups, you got to sweep up the puke, you know? Like, that's your job, and LeBron's just like, all right, bye.
And blessed are the gray areas like CJ McCollum, who make it clear what they want and make it clear who they'd like to play with without being outright divas and just, you know, acting like they run the league. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, Brian Flores goes on Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel, and when you do that, you know it's real. Hear from that next.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Hey, it must be a slow news day, because for 5 minutes we have a certain, what do you call them, hot take cold pizza show on?
Speak for your pizza. And who's on your NBA Mount Rushmore?
And this has been on, again, this graphic at the bottom, they've been talking about this for anywhere from 5 to 10 minutes.
I think you got to put former Rocket legend Royce White on that, former Rocket legend Hasheem Thabeet as well. Maybe I'd even think about putting a former Rocket Kelvin Cato on it, or Katina Mobley. No, I'm just kidding. Look, it's terrible, but this is what those producers think is good content, I guess.
I just had somebody on Twitch say, at Sports Vanessa, do you wear black every day or just every day?
Oh, yeah, very gothic.
Every day.
Emo?
Every day.
Would you identify more with the goths or the emos?
What's the difference?
The emos listen to a different genre of music. I feel like goths are probably listening to some sort of post-millennial Depeche Mode. And the emos are listening to, like, my daddy hates me. I'm not perfect.
I like all music. I actually have a very bright personality, I think. Colorful. I have a lot of energy, but I just like the way that black looks on me.
Darkness consumes your soul. Gotcha.
I think I look like a bad beat when I wear black.
Vamp kid, as another Twitcher asks. No. I could pull out being a vampire, though. Definitely.
Yeah, 100%. Brian Flores. Look, there's been a lot that's developed with this within the last couple of weeks. Obviously added to Mike Tomlin's coaching staff with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and certainly a lot of discussions about where this will go, the lawsuit. Not only the lawsuit, Paul, but his coaching career. Will he be able to make his way up past this position? Because he's a position coach with the Steelers when most people thought he'd be a head coach. So the discussions are not only about the legal matters, but can he advance his career?
And I think he can. If you go to the Steelers, that's an organization that's respectable, that's been very, 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 like, unbelievably consistent throughout their history. They've never been truly wretched. They've had some down years, no doubt about it. But the stability that they have gone, you know, only having as many coaches, what is it, three, four coaches over their entire history?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at organizations that run well in the NFL, the Steelers are in the top five.
Chuck Knoll, Bill Cowher, Mike Tomlin.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like four decades.
And you talk about like the cliche, like leader of men. But ask any owner or GM in the NFL who they like the person that they would want.
He has testosterone.
The guys just like him, too.
Yeah, they do.
Listen to him.
They do. And so he's on that staff. I feel like if he's trying to do some sort of, hey, I mean, I can be trusted as a coach. I guess, what would it be called? A rehabilitation tour.
Yeah.
Then it can start here. But I don't know that he necessarily wants that because he's continuing to do interviews. I'll give the Steelers a lot of credit for letting him go on. Maybe they felt like this is another way that the NFL seems like they are tolerant of players who or coaches who speak up against what they perceive to be, racism or whatever, but because that's what this is all about for Brian Flores. So, he was on Real Sports with Brian Kumbel.
Yeah.
And there were some interesting things said along the lines of that interview.
A lot of different topics dipped into with Brian Kumbel. And here's the thing about Real Sports. If you've never seen it,
it's
I think
real.
Most people have. It's hashtag real. But they dip into topics beyond sports, whether it's
like real sports,
equal pay for women. I mean, it's beyond just the storyline. So at some point we could have anticipated this interview, but he was on Real Sports, like you said, with Bryant Gumbel, Brian Flores, of course, and dipped into a little bit of the separation agreement that he allegedly was offered. He says he didn't sign this. He left millions on the table. The Dolphins, of course, have their version of the story. Here's Brian Flores on that.
I was surprised to learn that when you were let go by the Dolphins, that you were asked to sign an NDA, a non-disparagement agreement, and you declined.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think, you know, just signing that, you know, separation agreement would have really silenced me.
How much money did you wind up leaving on the table by choosing to not sign that agreement?
A lot.
A good amount of money.
A lot of money.
What's a good amount?
It was millions of dollars.
Millions of dollars.
It was 2 years of his contract. And to Coach Flores' credit, you know, he wasn't going to sign that because wasn't about the money. If it was about the money, he would have signed it. What he did instead was he filed this lawsuit so that he could help other coaches now and in the future.
So that was one of his lawyers that you heard chime in. And I'm just letting people know that because when CBS and Nate Burleson and Gail and all of them got the exclusive first, he had his lawyers with him, and he did a good job of explaining it, but I do think having his lawyers there to break down some of it has been helpful to him.
I'm glad it was his lawyers that were doing the flexing about like how much money was left on the table, because I think Flores just wanted to say, look, yeah, I just didn't sign it. But
right.
We all get it. He was doing this from the beginning. You're risking your future career by taking a stand. I don't think, though, that the Dolphins or Stephen Ross, who I don't find either of those two to be competent, I don't think that they're
You don't find Flores to be competent?
No, I mean Stephen Ross or the Dolphins.
Oh, gotcha.
Just those two as a whole. I don't think that they know what they're doing, but I do think that in this situation, they're not the bad guy for offering a separation agreement. I mean, these are standard. You know, if you end up, if your employment at a certain company ends, they are still willing to pay you afterwards, and you're supposed to be nice. You're just supposed to play nice going forward. Then if you sign it, okay. But to act like that is that, oh, wow, they had these state secrets that they were trying to keep him from saying. I feel like that's what they were trying to do here. They're trying to, I think, change public perception, change the public opinion into looking at the fact that, hey, they were going to make us sign an NDA. But no, it was just, as Flores said, I bet it was a separation agreement. And it actually does matter the difference between an NDA, because an NDA is like, hey, this is from like a civil settlement, you know? An NDA is like the kind of stuff that we're expecting from the Deshaun Watson case in the near future. Separation agreement is something that you see routinely when people end up having their employment ended. And that way they can get a little extra cheddar on the way out.
The articles make it sound like the separation agreement and the NDA have the same power as far as he would not have been able to talk about things.
They do, and the Dolphins, but the Dolphins denied the whole being an NDA side of it. And I can understand why, because I think when you hear NDA, it implies wrongdoing, where separation agreement doesn't necessarily imply that. Like, you might have hurt feelings afterwards. I know as someone who may or may not have signed a separation agreement at some point down in the past, like, yeah, you don't feel good when you sign it, but you also, you know, like money.
Well, I mean, if he did, leave millions on the table, kudos to him. But I do think that it's, you know, somebody on our Twitch stream brought up a point. It's interesting how big of a deal this story was initially, but then the Super Bowl happened and nobody cared. Part of that is the 24-hour news cycle that we live in with social media. But I do think we're going to see this develop. There's part of me that thinks that because Brian Flores is on an NFL staff, that I don't want to say his lawsuit may soften, but is he going to go as hard as he would if he weren't working? Or is he, you know, what's your opinion on that?
And in terms of, do you think that this is a distraction or something like that? Or
I mean, I think it helps that he's working in the NFL. I think the fact that he's working in the NFL is automatically might make his stance, I mean, not soften completely, but
no,
he's employed by the National Football League. He is currently employed. He was not when he filed a lawsuit. He now is.
It's a great point. It's one of the reasons that I always felt Colin Kaepernick doesn't really want a job in the NFL.
Why do you say that?
Because I thought that Kaepernick probably wanted a job to a certain degree, but he would want to be paid and he would want to be a starter. But I always felt like it was better for Colin Kaepernick's cause, whatever that was, for him to not have a job, because he can constantly say, the NFL's blackballing me. The NFL's keeping me out. And you know, you're right in that it does sort of become an afterthought now that Flores is on a coaching staff, and maybe this is why he's continuing to do media tours and stuff. But yeah, I wonder how this is going to work.
He's employed by the person he's suing. Like, right. Think about that.
The NFL. He is employed by the NFL.
By the entity. I mean, that's surreal to think about. I will say I do give kudos to Mike Tomlin for hiring him, not only because if you think about it, Mike Tomlin's getting a heck of a deal. He's getting a former head coach as a position coach who people like and respect. So I think that's a good move for Mike Tomlin and the Steelers. And only time will tell. Will he be able to make his way up to a, you know, offensive coordinator or you know, a DC? Will he be able to kind of almost make his way up again? Will he get a head coaching job in 2 years? I think that it's worth looking into, and I think it could happen.
There's only a couple of organizations, though, and off the top of my head, I probably wouldn't be able to name them who would think about hiring Flores after something like this. I mean, I would say that maybe, hey, Belichick walks away. Okay, then that's maybe a possibility. But, I mean, supposedly he hasn't even talked with Bill Belichick since all of this went down, which I found that a little bit surprising. I mean, Belichick is sort of just the accidental
God, those screenshots.
He's the accidental reason that the Giants are getting sued in this entire thing. But if it changes from in a lawsuit against the NFL to being just against the Texans, which we're hearing, you know, that could happen at some point, the Dolphins, the Giants, and the Broncos, are other organizations maybe going to turn a side eye to it? I don't know. I'm surprised, though, that he is still doing this.
Yeah.
Now that he has the job, and I guess I understand why, because you're right. It does sort of just fade into the background.
Yeah, this person, I mean, it's one of our listeners that brought it up, and I think it's a good point. That, and part of that's the world we live in with the 24-hour news cycle, but it'll certainly be interesting to see what Brian Flores does now that he is employed by the people that he's suing. He did mention, like, and you alluded to this on Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel, he has not talked to Bill Belichick, the man who sent the erroneous text,
right,
since all of this went down. If you're Bill Belichick, don't you, like, call and apologize?
What can you really say, though?
Right.
Like, and I think, I mean, he texted, right? I mean, he did text in the exchange that we saw.
He did say sorry, yeah.
He said, whoops, I mean, my bad, but there's no, you can't really do anything. And it's not his fault either. I mean, the Giants told him this, or somebody told him this, so that he was able to tell Brian Daboll ahead of time, yeah, congratulations, I hear you're getting the job.
It's pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be talking about this, of course, more throughout the day. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, the man with the best beard in town, Lovie Smith, stops by the Rich Eisen Show, and he was pretty candid. We'll talk about it next.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.